Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, Lord, and fellowship with one another, the sins of the Lord. And also, Father, come here and worship you, Lord, your great name, for thou art worthy of praise.
Amen.
We gratify thy name, Lord. And our Father, as we come together to thy word, Father, we pray that you open our hearts, Lord, and our ears to the understanding of thy word. For in the hour that we live in, Father, there is much trouble around the world. Distress in every nation. Wars and rumors of war, earthquakes, famines, pestilences. And the whole weather of the world, Father, is also changing because of the sins of mankind. They have polluted the earth that which you have created. And we know, Father, according to thy word, the time for mankind and its system and its war in the cosmos would have to come to an end. And the Lord Jesus Christ will return and set up his kingdom. Father, Lord, may our heart rejoice to know, as thy word says, when you see all of these signs come to pass, lift up thy head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Now bless those who are not able to be here today, those that on holidays, Lord, vacation, we pray that you bless them and watch over them too, Lord. And those who are called to duty, Father, because of their shift, we pray that you bless them even so. And for those who need a healing touch, Lord, and not well today somehow, we pray that you, Lord, also that you, being the great physician, lay thy hand upon them, Lord. I'm asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. the world that we live in today. And I don't think that there will be another generation before we see Christ Jesus. We are here to study the Word of God, and I know many of you who have been following my ministry all these years will know that we are not just listening to a good sermon like you might listen when you are in a denomination church. I came up from denomination, as you know, and I realized that there is a lack of Bible study, a lack of understanding of the revelation of the Word of God. Even the Bible tells us in the last day, when Jesus said, when I come back, will I see faith? Will I find faith? And yeah, a lot of people think, yeah, why not? Because there's a lot of churches in the world. And they are in the faith of Jesus Christ. They are in Christianity. And as one friend of mine sent me an app several weeks ago about the report that in India, there are many Sikh turning to Christianity. You know, it's one thing about turning to Christ. It's another thing about turning to Christianity. When you turn to Christianity, you are just following a religion. A person may turn from Buddhism to Sikhism to Hinduism to Christianity, and all these are just religion. But the thing about this is that we are living in a world where people are more wicked than it was before. If you look into the Bible said the world will get more wicked, more sinful. But where the sins of people are abound, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in those who search for Him, in those who look to Him. This world is not my home, but I'm just passing through, as though you know the song. Because this world is collapsing. And each time you hear the news and the news media, on the RT channel, CNN channel, CNA channel, newspaper, you can see the thing that is happening. Even today's paper, it's just so terrible. America, if you take a poll, as if there have been surveys taken, people will ask, what country is the most evil today? Is the most dangerous? And many of them say, it's America. America has been the evil of the world today. Like I said before, once when I was young, I loved America. Not knowing, of course, what is wrong. Because, you know, you're young, growing up. Because when we always watch movies in black and white in those days, it's always the cavalry, the good guy and the red Indian, the bad guy. And it turned out to be, it's the other way around. And you see, now that America has been doing all the things that they have done to Donald Trump, and you can see right now, China and Korea, China even telling Trump to restrain himself because China is taking side with North Korea. And you know what the Bible said about that? The Bible talks about the end time where the king of the east, the kings of the east will rise up. And we are seeing what we are seeing today. You have the king of the east because in the last 100 years, last 50 years or more, after the Second World War, all the events that happened in the world were centered over in this part of Asia. The communism uprising, the Pol Pot out there in Cambodia, and you had the Vietnam War and so on, and China under Mao Zedong, and you have in North Korea, and there is an uprising. And the thing the Bible tells us about the Antichrist spirits. But the King of the East, we can see it manifest very clearly. And their army is on the march, going towards the Middle East for the showdown. It may not happen tomorrow, but the war may start tomorrow. We do not know. Anytime, anything can happen. But we are watching the prophecy being fulfilled. But the question is this: how is it that the world, the civilization of the world, have become so bad? If you look into history, go to the First World War, then go to the Second World War. It's bad enough. First World War, Second World War is bad enough. But now, in Second World War, you have the atomic bomb. Now we are seeing nuclear power, nuclear bomb. Mankind is going to destroy one another, as the Bible said, but God will stop it and cut it short, or else there will be no mankind left on this earth. So when we look at what is going to happen, where do you stand in the sight of God? What is your standing before the Lord? Now, for the sake of every one of us, in case some of you were not already acquainted with it, let me take you back to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and give you an understanding, because you know, I find a lot of Christians are not aware of what the Bible teaches. And discussing with many Christian friends, practically, of course, they're all about the basic understanding that Jesus Christ, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to die for our sin. That by believing in Him, we have eternal life. And so that's all that satisfies a lot of people. And I have a brother-in-law who is a staunch Catholic. To him, he said, "I believe in Jesus, that's all." But he will pray to Mary as being a mother of God, or he will pray to the saints and so on. But you see, the Bible tells us that we cannot compromise. Who is on the Lord's side, let him come. Either this side or that side. You cannot sit on the fence. And in the Word of God, we realize that God is a God who is not only just full of grace, but He is also full of judgment. He does not like His Word to be compromised. When you compromise the Word of God, you make the Word of God no effect. You corrupt the Word of God. That's why when Jesus came, the people in those days, the religious people in those days, already believed the Old Testament. They believed the prophet of God, they believed Moses, they believed Ezekiel, they believed Joshua, they believed Jeremiah, all those prophets of God said. And yet when Jesus Christ was preaching, they tried to kill Him. They tried to crucify Him. And they did. They thought that they were serving God. They thought, they said, "We believe the Word of God. We believe what Moses said about the Messiah to come." But yet the Messiah stood there and they did not recognize Him. And that's how sad the state of the people of Israel. The same thing the Christian world today are the same. Many Christians, they said they know Jesus. I wonder if they really know Jesus. You really cannot know God, you cannot know Jesus outside of the Word of God. You know, and I can give you a little illustration here. I think that especially sometimes, you know, if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend living far apart, maybe from one state to another, and you need to correspond by, in those days, by letters. Not email, I mean by letters, you know, through them. And how do you long for your girlfriend or boyfriend to send you a letter, right? And you take time to read, and you read, you want to know what is in her mind or in his mind. To let you get to know him or her. You know, and maybe after he send you a couple of letters every week, and you treasure them, and you go back and reread them again to try to know this person. And yet we have the Bible here, which we know that Jesus Christ is the lover of our soul, and yet many times we don't even spend time reading and understand the Bible. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Quickly, I just want to draw something here on the board to give you a timeline. I'm not going to go into detail, but just to touch for those who are still not understanding. Now in the book of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Now we all understand this, but in a brief way, in a general way, many of us said that we understand, but many do not. Now we are going to go back here to the time before that's eternity, in the eternity past. Alright? That's eternity past. How many millions of years back we're not concerned with? Because when we talk about time is a very strange phenomenon. Alright? We are living now in a world where we are regulated by 24 hours of time. You break down into minutes, you break down into seconds. Right? But what is time? Time is only created outside of eternity. Because before anything that was created, all that was in existence was the Almighty Spirit of God. And of course, in atheism, they said there was no God. They don't believe in God. All this universe, the universe came about by chance, like a big bang bang and things like that. But you know, there are a lot of famous atheists that have now turned to God. Because they trap themselves in their own argument. They go back to one point called the singularity. Everything comes from a singularity. One famous atheist by the name of Anthony Fu. You can check him out on YouTube. He was very famous. He was always against the existence of God. But he would come to the point where the complexity... You know, I don't know about the scientific mind. The scientists always have this mind. They look into all these deep things and then they trap themselves that they couldn't get out of. You know? And no wonder the Bible said God is in simplicity. You know, everything may look complicated to you, but actually it's very simple. But the problem is when my mind tries to figure it out and then meddle with this and that and that and try to go against it, then they get trapped. And so we have this singularity, you know, and finally they have to be there. That singularity, whatever that is, cannot have a design not being in it. I mean to say the singular must have a design. Look at your own body. You have your joint and everything, the brain and all these cells flowing. Where did it come from? So that means to say that singularity is not something that is mindless. It's not, you know, like a gas or some kind of atom, that's it. Oh, it has a mind. And that's why it created this whole universe. So now we are not worried about that. That's for the atheists to go to find themselves whether they want to believe in God or not. But anyway, that's gone millions of years back. The earth has already been in existence when God created it. But because of what happened in the past, the fall of Lucifer, we all know Lucifer, being that he was the most beautiful of all the angels of God. He was the most beautiful, the one of the wise one, but he was so wise that he wanted to be like God. And therefore the fall of Lucifer took place in this period. And then 6,000 years back, the earth was recreated by God. And that's why in the second verse you'll find it. Because the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, was millions of years ago. We don't know how long it was. Whether it's a zillion years ago, how many light years ago, we don't know. Okay, but because Lucifer wanted to be like God, so he was cast out of the heaven, and his place remained upon this earth. And the earth was left frozen for a long period of time. So Satan and all those fallen angels were trapped in this earth. And then God recreated the heaven, the earth again. And that's what we read next was, the Spirit of God began to move upon this frozen earth and recreated this earth in 6 days. I mean, it's 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. So this was 6,000 years ago. Alright? Do not get confused on that. Now, so what we have was, God created modern man, Adam. Well, everything that God created should be okay. I mean, everything God created, the Bible says, was good, was perfect. Then God created Eve. Out of Adam. God did not create Eve directly from the dust of the earth like he did with Adam. He created Eve out of the sight of Adam. But trouble started because God had a plan. As I said this, for many of us, many people, they don't understand this. Why did God create Eve from the sight of Adam? Whereas all the animals, they were all created in pair. Male and female, he created them out of the dust of the earth. But for the woman, God created, took her from the side of Adam and made her a woman and gave it to Adam. So because of that, because God had a plan, and this is a thing that many Christians perhaps do not understand. I have even pastors that I talk with that they don't even understand the deep things of God. They think that, well, we are here to be given a choice. You know, and we do not know what's going to happen out there. Things that, no, the Bible tells us everything. All the answer that we seek for to our question of life have an answer in the Bible. You see. So, God had a plan, and the reason why God created Eve out of man was that God had to present man a test. God did not make Adam a robot. Like today, we have read this high tech, we have all this robot now. Even car, there is travelers and things like that, and they are building, you know, all this robot in the future. They are talking about science fiction, all right? About humanoids. Is it possible for man to create humanoids? You bet, it is possible. Have you followed the news about medical science, the advance of medical science, how that they could supply the genes, the little genome, that the chromosome, just the RNA in the helix of the strand of the chromosome, just cut that one slice out, because they found where the hereditary cells of a family, you know, that having heart problem, that is passed down from grandfather to father to son to grandson. They have found that one little area, and they spliced that out of the RNA and move it over to the DNA and put in there, and here plasto, problem solved. Yes. And the paper reported last few days ago, they can even do that by using a pig, transplant genes from pig to human. Well, I hope that the human, when they did that to the human don't speak like a pig anyway. But you know, the possibility of all of this, because the Bible said man has become like God. That is true. And so, God had the desire to give Adam and Eve, you know, a response, a test. But you know what happened in the garden? Well, you will have a serpent. Now, the serpent is not a snake. It's a word that has been associated with snakes. But it wasn't a snake. It was an upright creature, as you all know. Alright? It was an upright creature. Like a man. Only that serpent was not created in the image of God. And no wonder science was tracing back, and they found all those fossils of prehistoric men. Now, those prehistoric men are not created in the image of God. They were created in the image of the animals and of the animal world. That's one thing we need to understand. Alright. And because of the affinity, this is for those who do not know, the affinity of animals. You know that when God created the heavens and the earth, and He put creature on the earth, He always created from the smallest to the higher level of animals. You understand? He created bacteria first, viruses first, fungus first, things like that. And then apples, perhaps, and then fish, and then, you know, the higher animal going upwards. And for those who still do not understand why God created bacteria, God did not create bacteria to infect your body. He didn't do that. He created bacteria was to break down all dead stuff that fell from a tree, a fruit. You know, all this decay. God has to use bacteria to break it down. And why do you get bacteria when you are as a human being? It's because your body is filled with sin. The day that Adam and Eve committed sin with the serpent, our body is already hybrided. Since came in, the Spirit of God have to leave, the veil of God is taken away, and the body start to die. And when the body start dying, bacteria acts upon it, just like fruits that start to die out, rot away. Simple science, the Bible give you the answer. So, when we look at this then, that the affinity between animals, just like we have a mule, for those who still not understand, where did the mule come from? God did not create the mule. The mule came from a donkey, a male donkey, and a female horse. And He created this mule. But the mule is dead in the seeds. It cannot be produced by itself. You get a male mule and a female mule, they cannot reproduce. You have today also in the zoos, what they call the zebra. They take the zebra and a donkey, a male zebra and a female donkey, and they crossbreed, and they produce an animal called the zebra. Take a male zebra and a female zebra and breed. They can't. The seed die. The Bible talks about it. The Bible said, not everything bring forth its own kind. A donkey, a donkey. A horse, a horse. A zebra. But where did this come from? Even in the world we have the lion. A lion and a female tiger. Try to get the male tiger and a female tiger to mate and try to produce one, it can't. The seed is there. I want you to understand this. It's all about the seed. And Adam was the seed of God. Right? But in the animal world, the devil is in the seed. And that the affinity between the horse and the donkey is there. They can crossbreed. But you take a tiger, lion and a tiger, they crossbreed. But take a lion and crossbreed with a civet cat or a bobcat, you will not be able to. Because the affinity is too far. You see, and that's why in China they tried to, many years ago, they tried to breed, they tried to hybrid a gorilla with mankind. They failed. Because the affinity between the gorilla and our man is too far. The missing link then was this serpent. Because before man, Adam was created, the serpent was created before he was created. So you have to be the affinity that is close together in the successful ascending order when God created the creatures of the earth from the smallest to the highest. And the masterpiece of God is mankind. We are God's masterpiece. We are created in the image of God. The serpent was not. The prehistorical man was not. No animal was created in the image of God. The image of God is that man can worship God. That is this spirit that God created of Adam. Because the Bible said God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. The image is just a spiritual side. The likeness is a physical side of God. God has a physical side, you bet. That's why you see Jesus. And how does God look like? I always ask the question. How does God look like? God is a spirit, how does it look like? The answer is, look at Jesus. The spirit of God is like that. Not like a smoke. You ask any Christian, how does God look like? They have no idea. How sad. They worship, they know not what. Like what Jesus said to the woman at the well. You worship, you know not what. Because you know, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus asked her for some water. He said, no, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we have nothing in common. You know, it's only because the Samaritan came from a mixture. You know, and Jesus said, if you know who I am, you ask me for living water. I said, what living water? You don't even have a bucket, anything to scoop the water with. Jesus said, if you know me, you will know. Go, find your husband. And the woman said, no, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you speak right. You have five. And the one that you're living with now is not even your husband. The woman was shocked. How did Jesus know about it? And she said that the Bible said that when the Messiah comes, he will do these things. And the woman told, and Jesus told the woman, you talk about this mountain because the woman told Jesus, this place, this mountain area, this well all belong to Jacob, our father. And Jesus said, you worship, you know not what. It's not that you worship there and we worship in Jerusalem. Nothing to do with that. And the hour has come, Jesus said. The hour has come. There that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Two things. We worship God in spirit and in truth. What do you mean by spirit? The God knows where you are. Now, not God is not a vapor. God is not an air. Everywhere. That's what people say. God is everywhere. But what do you mean by God is everywhere? There are three things about God. God is omnipotent, all powerful. Right? God is omniscient, all knowing. And because of being omnipotent and omniscient, He is omnipresent. But God is a being. He sits in His throne. We are here in Singapore worshipping Him. We said He is here because of His presence, because He knows. Over on the other side of the world, directly opposite the other side of the earth, there are people worshipping. God also knows. His presence is also there. Because He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He knows everything. So He could be everywhere present at the same time. Not that He fills all little holes in space. No. Sad to say, but that's the interpretation of many theologians. But let us look at it now. Because of the affinity between the serpent and mankind, and that's where the original sin comes in. The original sin. Lots of people, you ask Christians, 99% of Christians doesn't even know, understand what the original sin is. The original sin to many people is a fruit tree. But God said, don't touch this fruit tree. This fruit tree is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you will surely die. But there's another tree called the tree of life. Okay, but the Bible never mentioned about eating of that. But see, the problem is in the Bible interpretation, people think that when you look at tree, it means literal trees. The Bible has lots of figure of speech. Representation, symbol. So a tree is not necessarily a tree. What the Bible said. When Jesus Christ healed, the man was blind. And when Jesus laid hand on him, give him some, vicar of mud and spittle and apply on his eye. Remove it. Say, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees moving. How can men be like trees moving? So you see, he's using symbols. So the Bible also said that Israel is a tree. And we are also trees, planted by rivers of living waters. Jesus Christ is called the tree of life. He's also called the rose of Sharon. Lily of the valley. All these are symbol. And yet how come people do not understand that? Now the Bible, there are two books in the Bible, the most mysterious. Book of Genesis, at least the first 12 chapters. And the book of Revelation. A lot of symbols were used because God hid the mysteries from the wise and the prudent. You can never understand the deep things of God by going to theological school. You can't. If God doesn't give the Holy Spirit and a gift to the church to make it revealed through a ministry, then you will not understand. Theological school is not going to help you. All you have is tradition being taught to you. See? So now, the Bible tells us about the two trees in the garden. Well, it didn't say it grows on the ground. God said to Adam and Eve, all the trees that come up from the garden, all the trees that grow out from the ground, you can freely eat. Every tree. No exclusion. Then the Bible stops right there. Of course, in the King James Version, is one of the most complicated Bible to really understand. Because it was translated in the days of King James in the 1600s. And it was a generation, an era where they believe in all kinds of mythical animals. They even have story of Merlin, the magician. They have this dragon that have wings. You all know that, don't you? That spew fire. And a wing that could fly. And every time they have a dragon, the dragon always have a tail. What kind of tail does that dragon have? It's an arrowhead tail. And what about Satan? Is it not Satan always depicted by always red in color, black in color, hideous eye with flame of fire with horns? Right? And what does it? He had a tail. He has a tail that is also an arrowhead. And he likes to carry a trident. And the trident is also with arrowheads. This mystical thing during the time of King James, that's what the Bible, when it was translated, they were using common imagery that were among the civilization at that time and put into the Bible. That's why in the book of Revelation, you read the verse, the great dragon. The word dragon is not a word, actually. It's what, during that time, they have this dragon thing and they use that. The word in Greek is Draco. Draco is rendered to the Hebrew word Sarah, which means a serpent, a fiery thing that is moving. A fire, wonderful looking creature. And yet, it's deadly. It could be good, could be bad. But because it was translated that way, people read it and they like to draw it as a dragon with wings. But that's okay. If you understand the truth of what the Bible is saying, but many do not. See, so what we have that the Bible talk about in the midst of the garden. Now the Bible talk about the midst of the garden. In the midst of the garden, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, look at the verse. Alright? In chapter 2 of Genesis, so that you look at the scripture, you understand, okay? It says, verse 9, "And all of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food." You see that it says, everything that is present to the sight and good for food. Then there is a semicolon in the King James. Now I told you this before, in the original Bible, Hebrew and Greek are two languages that do not have comma, colon, semicolon, or a full stop. They don't have that. It's just a flow of words. But the reader knows where to stop. But because it was translated into English, so the translator tried to figure out where to put a full stop in, or semicolon, things like that. Now the thing is that there should be a full stop at the end of the first sentence. For pause over there. That's it. Then the next sentence came forth, or the clause, was what we call an interruption. Something that is thrown out. Now for people who don't understand, they think that this is part of what Jesus was saying. Every tree that grows from God you may eat. And then, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good of evil in the midst of the garden. So they think that these are real trees. But that's what fool people. No wonder Jesus Christ, when he was talking to the Pharisees, the religious people at the temple, you know, they were all discussing about how beautiful the temple was and this and that, this and that. You know what Jesus said? Suddenly he just threw out something. He said, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up." Right? What did he say? A lot of people say, "You're crazy. How many years was this temple in building? It's 46 years in building. And you can destroy and you can build up in 3 days." That's what they were thinking. But the Bible later on tells us, even the disciples do not understand. The disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying. They were there with Jesus Christ when they were talking about the temple, how beautiful it was, and so on and so forth. And Jesus Christ destroyed this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. The disciples didn't know. But only after Pentecost, after Jesus died, when the Holy Spirit was given to them, the Holy Spirit told them what it was that Jesus was referring to. He was not referring to the temple. He was referring to the body, his temple, the temple of God. So the same thing with this. Many times Jesus would throw a cloth out, an interruption. And people were just kind of shocked what he's talking about. So the same thing with this portion here. The tree of life and tree of knowledge and good and evil, they are not literal trees. Because when we look later on, if the tree of knowledge and good and evil is a literal tree, or was a literal tree, then the tree of life must also be one. There must be little. But what happened to those two trees? They must be on the earth today. Are they on the earth today? Because the Bible says that God destroyed them. You will never go around the world and find this tree. You don't find. Because these are spoken of. The tree of life represents what is life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil represents what is evil. What is death. And in everything that God has, there is always two sides. Choose God or choose Satan. Say for example, marriage, for example. Marriage is holy in the eyes of God. If a man who is married, he goes and sleeps with a harlot, is it right or is it wrong? You see, the same thing with sex. Sex is what God created. God intended Adam to have Eve to reproduce children. Everything is okay. But if the wife goes to another male, then that's wrong. That's why we have problems in the world today. Divorce cases, so many. Singaporean in Singapore, the population here is sick. Divorce rate has gone up. America used to be the number one country, but a lot of divorce. Singapore seems to be catching up, you see. And many countries too. The rate of divorce has gone up. People are not faithful. So what we have is that, to cut it short, original sin, we call it original sin. It's actually the seed of the serpent. What causes the fall? Was that Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is not a literal tree, which is the law that she broke, by going and have sex with the serpent. The serpent seduced her. The Bible said that very clearly. But this is one doctrine here that we find that many Christians rejected it. When did they reject it? They rejected it all the way back when the culture started. This doctrine started to die out. But you're going to ask a Jew who knows the Bible, their Bible. He will tell you what happened. How do I know? Because I have a friend who was a Jew years ago. His father was a Jew, his mother was a Catholic. But when he came to the knowledge of Christ and he accepted Christ, then when he found out that the original sin was actually fornication in the garden, he went and told his father, who was a Jew, and he told the son, he said, "Son, where do you think the Bible come from? Did not the Bible, Old Testament, came from us?" So the Bible said, the oracles of God was given to the Jew, and we, the Gentiles, received it. And God blinded them for the world. And the father told the son, you're trying to teach me something which belonged to us. You know, and the son asked him, "Yeah, I'm telling you that's what happened was in the garden was fornication." And the father said, "Of course it was fornication." But today, the denomination churches, 99.99% rejected this doctrine because they say it's so dirty. But that is the truth. Because they cannot prove the original sin. They all say it's only enough fruit from a fruit tree. And let me say something very strange. If it was a fruit from a tree that is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if I take the fruit, if Adam took this fruit from this tree, yet the Bible said all trees that grow from the ground can be eaten. How come this one cannot be eaten? First of all, it's already contrary. Right? Okay, assuming that if Adam Eve took a literal tree, let's say, well, you always want an apple. Let's say it's not an apple. Let's say it's a durian. Let's say you're in the context. So you know, I take a tree and durian's whole, it's heavenly. They eat it. Then your eyes open. Oh, we have sinned. How is it so? So by eating durian, they realize that they have sinned. Then today has a proverb said, if eating durian shows that they are naked, then we should pass durian on the beaches where women wear bikinis. So that when they eat it, they realize they were actually half naked, or more, 90% naked. You see, it is not. But if by eating a fruit from this tree causes death, then the other tree of life, why did God take it away? Adam should be able to go to take the tree from the tree of life and eat it, and he will have eternal life back. Because that must be the antidote, obviously. You see, Jesus Christ is the tree of life, represented here because he is the word of life. So if the tree of life, the word of life, is the antidote for death, then you must understand that Adam and Eve, what did they eat? They eat the wrong word. Obviously. So what happened with them? The Bible said, okay, here we are in chapter 4. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. Than any beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now here we tell, the Bible tells us that this serpent can talk. Right? The Bible says he is more subtle, means because he's very cunning, he knows he has a lot of knowledge and understanding. There are only few, and he is the only animal that could talk. Oh, but Brother John, didn't the donkey, the balance sit on top? You know how people try to twist the word of God? What did the donkey talk? How did the donkey talk? Was because there was an angel there that was speaking it. You know? A donkey cannot talk. Oh, but what about a parrot? The parrot can talk. Well, if you think the parrot could talk, then I think that you are very unwise. The parrot cannot talk. They are mimic. They mimic sound. Right? You teach him, as I said this, teach him. Good morning. Every morning you get up, teach your parrot to say good morning. They will say good morning to you. Right? But if you one night come into the kitchen while you, the parrot's there in the night time, in the middle of the night, he will tell you good morning. 9 p.m. is good morning. 3 p.m. also good morning. Every hour of the day you see him, you will say good morning. He doesn't know what is good morning. But the servant can have conversation. You must understand that. He can hold conversation. So he asked the woman, yeah, and God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said, yes, we may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which are in the midst of the garden. Now there's one thing about the word midst of the garden, that's why I give you the clue. What do you mean by the midst of the garden? The Bible already in the previous chapter, verse 9, of chapter 2, verse 9, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge are good and evil. That is to say, if you have, let me write it right here. This is the garden. So this is the garden. Where is the midst? This must be somewhere in the middle. Right? Yes, midst must be somewhere in the garden. That's the midst. Now, in the midst, there's only one spot. Midst, there's only one spot. Can two trees grow up from the same spot? You can't. Can two trees grow side by side? You can. But you cannot have the roots of the good and evil tree, the tree of life as well, the same root grow from it. You can't. So what is the Bible trying to tell you? In the midst of the garden, that's why we have, let me just draw this, the human body. Alright, the human body. The midst of the human body. Wow, how come is the human body in a garden? Read in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, the book of Psalms. The Bible talk about the human as a garden. King Solomon said, I'm coming to my garden, my spouse, and taste the fruits. Well, that's when as I said this before, the Song of Solomon is a sexological book. It's all about lovemaking. Some people find, like people who say, oh, your Bible is pretty pornographic. Because the book of King of Solomon, huh? It's about lovemaking. Yes. Solomon said, I'm coming to my garden, my spouse, to taste of the fruit. And he described all that. You can look at it. And when the Bible talks about the midst of the garden, he's referring to that one spot. If you don't believe me, you take a person who is properly built. 6 feet tall, 3 feet from the top, count down, and 3 feet from the bottom where you get. That's where the sexual organ is. And this is where the law of God was given in the garden to Adam and Eve. Don't touch that tree of good and knowledge of good and evil. The moment you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, as long as Adam and Eve sit together and enjoy their time together to produce children, no problem. The moment that him or she move out to take another, you have a problem. Because the Bible says, let everything bring forth its own kind. How do you bring forth your own kind? How do you bring forth your own kind? A dog, male dog, female dog, bring forth dog. Lion with lion, bring from lion. But lion with tiger, bring from a liger. And the moment it brings down that, the descendant, the seed, dies. You cannot reproduce anymore. Facts of life. See? So now, bring for his own kind. The moment you step out, now, when we talk about the serpent, the Bible talks about the serpent. But don't forget that there is Mr. Serpent also there. And Satan went into the garden and used the male serpent. He couldn't use the male, female serpent. You know why he couldn't use Mr. Serpent? To try to tempt Adam? Because Adam would not fall. He was an original creation. An original creation could never be deceived. Remember the word, could never be deceived. That's a fact. But a byproduct, not an original creation, that's what Eve was. She was not an original creation, a byproduct, and she could be deceived. Now we look at the world today, the Christian world. Now we're talking about the trail of serpent as well. You look at the Christian world today. There are so many churches today. But are these churches really teaching the Word of God? Or they have been hybrided by the tradition of man? No wonder Jesus Christ, when he was around, the Pharisees and Sadducees came and argued with him. And Jesus Christ said, you make the Word of no effect by your tradition. The tradition of the elders. You're keeping the teaching, the tradition of elders. There's not even scripture. And that's what denominations have been doing. It's a handed down thing from denomination to denomination. And today, how many denominations are there in the world? Scared. Huh? Some 30,000, 33,000 at least. Denomination, name sect, subdivision, and so on. Even among the Mormons, they have even different groups. Yes. Look at the Pentecostalism. Look at Presbyterianism, Baptist group, Methodist group. There are so many different groups in the main category. The question is, are they teaching the Word of God? Or have they been hybrided by the doctrines of man? And that's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leader. You make the Word of God no effect. That's true. No effect at all. All about washing hands. Remember when Jesus came in, the disciples up to the field and they, it was the seventh day. And they just plugged it in your corn and just eat it. And they make so much noise about it. Huh? And Jesus said, even when he healed the sick on the seventh day, and the Pharisees said to him, mix up the big fuss over here. How can you walk on the Sabbath day? And Jesus said, during the Sabbath, when you see a cow or a heifer or the goat or the sheep fall into a ditch, did you not get it out? And yet when I heal the sick, you make a big fuss. You hypocrites. He says what? Sabbath, men are not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath are made for men. And I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Do they recognize him? No, they say you're a blasphemer. He's a demon. Crucify him. Today the same thing with truth. It's the same with the truth of God's word. People hated it. Because they want to hold to their tradition. Because they're so secure in tradition. They have been sitting in that beautiful, comforting nest that you don't want you to stir it up. But you know, if you're an eagle of God, if you ever study eagle, like I did, when the eagle had grown up, it's time for him to fly. And if he's still so comfortable sitting in that nest, because he wants mama and papa to bring food for him, when he's big enough to learn to fly, you know what the mama do to the nest? She will stir up the nest. The nest is about 6 feet in diameter. She will stir up the nest so that there will be no comfort for the little chick. And we're trying to stop the chick to jump over the cliff and learn to fly. But people want comfort. That's what it is. So when we look at this, then because Satan could not use Mr. Serpent to tempt Adam, he would use Mr. Serpent to seduce Eve. Because said, you cannot touch it, cannot eat of it. This tree of knowledge, good evil. He said, yes, no, we can't eat it. All the rest of the fruit tree we can eat, but not this one. And you know what the serpent said? He said, the day you eat of it, you will not surely die, but you'll be wise like God. Wonderful, huh? So could a fruit eating it make you wise like God? No. It is something, it's a knowledge. That's what the Bible says. It's a knowledge of good and evil. So the moment that you eat of it, she went and us, Adam, eat of it as well. See, having sex with a serpent was nice. That's why today we have sexual problem in the world today. Fornication among the young people. I think they're young. You know, it's one thing about a boy and a girl getting into all this sexual affair. Who's the loser? The woman is the loser. The girl is the loser. Because when a girl gets pregnant, she's the one getting the baby, not the man. And that's what we have problem. So when people taste sex, young people, they taste sex, they go out and boast. You know, when I was young working in a hospital, there were a lot of young nurses, male nurses, they were young, they're not even married. They talk about how they went to the prostitute, enjoyed the sex and all this other thing. You know what happened to that thing? That knowledge make them feel that they are matured, wise. Because now I know what it is. And they want more and crave for more. That's why the sin in the garden was such a problem. And that's why today the biggest problem of the world today is such a problem. Out of that one sin, what happened next? What happened next? Lies came. Killing started. Because we see the serpent seed. It's all linked together. And yet, people don't understand the original sin. So what happened? Alright, let's move on quickly. Because of that, we have the serpent through Eve bring forth a son called Cain. Adam through Eve bring forth a son called Abel. I think you all know the Bible. And you ask the Christian, what happened here? They say, Cain killed Abel. Cain killed Abel, right? Sure, isn't it? But why did Cain kill Abel? If Cain and Abel belong to Adam, why, how could Cain kill Abel? Why did Cain get the murderous spirit? Where did he get it from? Did he get it from Adam? If he got it from Adam, that means that Adam had that spirit. God, Adam was a son of God. He doesn't have those evil attributes of lies, wickedness, covetousness. No, not at all. So where do you think Cain got it from? He got it from his father, the serpent. But denomination will tell you that Cain was the son of Adam. The Bible tells you otherwise in two, three different places. Because Jesus said, Cain was of his father, the wicked one. And who was the wicked one? And he was telling the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. He was lying from the beginning. Huh? And he said that Cain was of the wicked one. Who was the wicked one? Was he referring to Adam as the wicked one? Or was he referring to God as the wicked one? Who was the wicked one? Satan. And Satan has already took a hold of the serpent. And a lot of people don't understand. That's the original sin. So what happened right there? Abel, of course, belonged to God. But what happened by and by, the two lines began to mix. They intermarried. And God was very displeased about it. Go look over in chapter 6 now. We go to chapter 6 quickly. Of Genesis. Alright, and it came to pass. When man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. So in case that you do not understand, just go back a little bit to chapter 4 and look at something here, some places here. In verse 16. Now if you look at chapter 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And after Enoch was born, Irad born Mahujael, Mahujael begat Mahusael, and Mahusael begat Lamech, and so on. Now these are the descendants of Cain. Right? Then in chapter 5, we have the descendant of Adam through Seth, in verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos, and so on down line. So what we are seeing two lines. Obviously, because there are two different seeds. This is, Cain was called the seed of the serpent. That's the seed of the serpent. Alright, that's Cain. And Abel was the seed of Adam. Now, interestingly, some people ask me a question. Let me answer that. You know, animals do not worship God. But I have Christian people tell me, yes, animals do worship God, like a cock or a cockerel. Every morning when the sun goes out, you say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They're trying to say that's what they're worshiping God. Have you heard about it? Oh, they said, what about wolf? They said the wolf also worship God. The wolf, they're worshiping God. No, I think some of these Christians, I don't know why they get all this information or something, it's twisted in their mind. Animals do not worship God. Serpents do not worship God. But his seed did. Cain was the son of the serpent. He worshiped God. Where did he get the spirit of worshiping God? He got it from his mother, Eve. Cain was half of the serpent, half of him. Because every one of us came from our father and mother. 23 chromosomes from our father, 23 chromosomes from our mother. Is that right? Yes. That's why Cain was able to worship. But in his worship, he did not have the revelation. That's why when he offered to God, instead of the blood of an animal, he offered vegetables. He know God wants the best. He give God the best. But he didn't have the full revelation of the blood. But Abel took the best for God, which was a flock. Fattening of his flock. And he slain that animal and offered blood. Because why? When Adam is sin, what did God do? He clothed them with the skin of animal, right? So to clothe them with the skin of animal, God must have sacrificed a few animals just to make them coats. Is that right? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Do you see the understanding about it? When God could have a dress, or some kind of a covering out of cotton wool and cover Adam and Eve. Why did he do that? Why didn't he do that? Interesting, why did he not do it? Instead he killed animals. You know why? Because that is a sign to prove that when Adam and Eve wear the animal's coat, skin of animal, it shows that brute beast is not attached to man. That's why human beings behave like animals. True, that's not a saying far-fetched, huh? You ever seen? He behave like animals. She behave like animals. Yeah, because well, we have that animal blood in us. That blood came from this woman. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the non-Christians don't like it. They think it's nonsense. But look at what science proves. Look at even what the Bible already tells us. When you mix two animals of the same kind, you have this infused blood. Each the animal behave a little bit, like a mule, for example. He looked like a horse, but he's strong as a mule. Strong as a donkey, because the donkey is the animal that carries a lot of weight. Right? And the new thing about things is about the donkey. You know what donkey sounds like? Hee-haw, hee-haw. Listen to the mule. See what it sounds like? Hee-haw. See, because of what is mixed in there. Now, if Adam and Eve were to have children all the way down, there would be no problem in the world today. But God did not create Adam and Eve to be a robot. To worship God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord every day like a robot. Because God doesn't want it. God wants His creation to express their desire, their will. They are given a will. That's why they were given the test. And God knew that Eve will fall. Mankind will fall into sin. And the Bible tells us, Paul told us, that it was not the desire of God to have man in the fall. But God permitted them to be tested, that knowing that they will fall. And out of it, Paul said that God have a higher purpose. You know what higher purpose is? You see, Adam was created in dust of the earth. That's a three-dimensional world. That's all that he will be on this earth. But God had desired that man to have a more spiritual body. that is not limited to this three-dimensional world, that he could just go through the wall. Or could even, like a speed of light, move from one place to another. Which was even granted by God to people like Elijah in the Bible. Even to Philip, who was an evangelist, he was teleported. From Samaria to the Gaza desert, just to meet the eunuch. All these are foretaste of what will be. And these are all facts in the Bible. The more that we understand it, the more that we can behold the glory of God. So now, what we see then for in the Bible, that these two lines, there are two lineage, they began to mix. And in chapter 6, the Bible said here, in chapter 6, verse 2, or verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wife of all that which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive, always strive with men. For that he also is fresh, that his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and their children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that every imagination or thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Huh. So we are trying. Here we have Cain's people. We have Abel's people. But the sons of God, the Bible used the word sons of God. Now this is where, again, denomination, instead of looking at the Bible, they look at some strange interpretation of the Bible because of some words in the Hebrew. The word in the Hebrew about giant is Nephilim. You know, they always find it so strange when they use here all the words. For example, Elohim. Y'all know what Elohim is? You have seen the word Elohim, right? Elohim. You know Elohim? It's Hebrew. Every time they say it ends with an I am, it means plural. So God is plural. There are three persons in God, which is nonsense. But they believe it. But the word I am always means magnificent. It doesn't necessarily mean many. Oh, it's just that people go to a church. Oh, the church is so small. But when you go to charismatic of 10,000, wow, magnificent, because of the size of the many. And God is Elohim. By Elohim, it's not God. You know, the name of God, children of Israel, the name of the God of Israel. What is his name? Yahweh. Yahweh is Elohim. Elohim is not Yahweh. You get the point, man? You understand what I'm saying? Simple. Dogs are animals. Animals are not dogs. Can you say that animals are dogs? All dogs are animals. Not all animals are dogs. So Yahweh is Elohim, but not all Elohim are Yahweh. Elohim means an object of worship. An idol is your God. Can be your God. That's the reason why when Moses was up there in the mountain talking to the Lord, down below the mountain, the people of Israel says, come on, Aaron, create us God. And Aaron created them out of their jewelry a golden calf. Only one golden calf. And what did Aaron say? What did he say? He said, behold your Elohim. Why did he use the word I am? Because the calf was magnificent, it's huge, beautiful. This is your Elohim, this is your gods. That's plural. But of course it's always singular. Because Elohim has nothing to do with men. But you see the problem of looking at the Bible. Looking at the word, looking at common sense. But no, they're looking at theological understanding that brings to nothing. So anyway, here we have the mixture of these two lines. Create, what do we have? Giants. Well, giant doesn't mean they're huge in size, but also huge in the mind. Big in the mind. And they were wicked. The Bible said they were wicked continually. Non-stop. And this giant in the Hebrew word is called Nephilim. And because it was like that spoken in the Bible in the Hebrew, you know what denominator theologians said? Nephilim. Oh, the sons of God, they were angels. Angels came down from heaven, have sex with the womb of the earth, produced this giant. And you know, it contradicted completely the Bible. Because Jesus said, the angels do not procreate. Because they are sexless. They are neither male nor female. Neutral gender. Because visible. Look at what Jesus said when the Pharisees came to him and used the law of Moses. He said, when a brother married a woman, and before the brother can conceive a son through the woman, he died. And according to the law, the second brother must take over to produce a son so that his progeny could continue. But the second one also died. And he continued on to the fifth one. They are just guys. In the resurrection, in the afterlife, which of these five brothers is actually the husband? Do you understand? They are asking Jesus Christ. Whose wife is this among the five? And Jesus Christ says, didn't you know? They are like the angels. There's no marriage, no divorce in heaven. You see the mentality of religious people who are supposed to know the Bible, the Old Testament, and yet you're using all this traditional teaching and the contrary of the scripture in order to Jesus Christ rebuke them. You are of your father, the devil. All the lies that he will teach. And today the churches are doing the same. And the Bible is a warning of deception. There are a lot of false Christ, false teachers coming along. And it doesn't come from outside. It came mainly from the organization. You know. So he produced this giant. And what happened? Because of this, they were so wicked. God says, I'm going to call everything to a halt. So what he did? He sent a flood. So, what happened? What you have in the flood was in the ark. You only ate soul. There was Noah and his wife. And the three sons. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Right? Eight souls. Oh, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wife. Each of their wife. So there are eight souls. Four male, four female went into the ark. And there were the rain came 40 days, 40 nights, and the earth was completely covered with water. That's why until so much so, it took almost a year before the water subsided. And during that time, another 200 years later or so, that the earth crust was reshaped. So today, until we have what we have, the continent today. Because in the day of Noah, there was never any rain. And the earth do not have the ocean that we have today. Atlantic, Pacific Ocean, it doesn't exist. But because of the rain that came down from the canopy, which God created as a greenhouse effect, to keep the earth in one temperature. Not like we have today. Four seasons. It never exists. When that was broken up in the days of Noah, then the earth was reshaped. And that's why the earth was tilted today. Originally, it was not tilted. It was perpendicular to the sun. So that you have 24 hours of sunlight, 24 hours of darkness everywhere around the earth. But because of the flooding, after the water went up, the earth went through a tremendous reaction. Because of the water was pushing down the earth, breaking it up, shifting the crust of the earth until the earth was tilted. And we have the majority of the water in the southern part of this earth. And now that the earth began to move around the sun, it's 365 and a quarter day, which is never the mathematics of God. The mathematics of God is always an even number. And to move around a point in a circle is 360 days. That's why the original calendar, if you look in the Bible, exactly 360 days in a year. But what happened all this? The whole day in our Bible to understand. That's why the more we understand what's going on in the world today, we can be prepared for the coming of the Lord, to know that the promises of God is real. So because of what happened now, 8 souls went into the ark. 8 souls came out of the ark after the flood. And these 8 souls then, well, not of nowhere the wife. They could no longer produce because of what the wife committed. Noah's wife committed incest. Just act with him. And that's why it produces giants again. And the son that produces out of him, the son that produces giants, his name is Canaan. For you to not understand, okay. Canaan was the seed of the serpent. 50% of the serpent's gene, 50% of Eve. Right? Abel's seed. Abel was killed, replaced by Seth. This son came from Adam and Eve. There is no serpentine blood in them. No serpentine nature in them. But when they began to, the descendants began to mix, it produces giants. So Noah was the last of the pure Satan. The last of the pure seed from the Seth line. His wife happened to be the wife who descended from Cain. So now, Noah, this one, the wife, is already a serpent seed. Now the wife have, is actually the cause with him. What do you think happens? Now when you're hybrid, now if you study hybrid, I study, you know, all this process of inbreeding, hybrid, how it works. The first generation, you don't see much problem. But the problems are in the 10th generation, most of the time. Mendel's law, I mean, he studied it and he found out about this pea, strange phenomenon that happened in the pea. Between the yellow pea and the green pea, and you mix them together, the first generation you may have a pot of pea that's all green. Second generation, all green. The third generation, pop, one comes out, a yellow one. And this is what actually happened here. So when Mrs. Noah and Ham produced Cain, here already he was on the dark side. Here was already half of the dark side, because Ham came from Noah and the wife. So he produces Canaan. And that's what the name Canaan is well acquainted with in the Bible. The land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is where his descendant dwells. Spread all over the Middle East. All the way from Egypt, upwards to the river Euphrates, on the eastern side as well, all over the land of Canaan. And that's why God led on, chose Abraham, and say, I want you to go there to the land of Canaan. I want to give you this land. And later on, under Moses, and came Joshua, and God said, destroy all the Canaanites. Woman, babies, everyone. Now a lot of people said, hey, to me, you know, when I used to discuss with them, for those who are non-Christians, they say, oh, you know, your God is a terrible God. He went into the land of Canaan and destroyed these innocent people. But do they understand why God did that? They don't. Because that a bad seed. Really bad seed. Needed to be gathered with all the earth. Now today in the world there are a lot of people who are really evil. What do you think? How would you feel if you are living in a place, in a village or in the land, they are filled with wicked people? How do you feel? Well, men are born basically bad, not basically good, as theologians used to say. Men are born basically bad, even because we are born in sin. And it's because of civilization that have its culture and its tradition and its rules and regulations that men behave. See? Now if you were to go to Iran, or if you go to Iraq, or you go to Saudi Arabia, you have to follow the rules there, right? Huh? Why? Because their culture. Here we live in Singapore. The foreigners that came here to be citizens of Singapore, you know what they were taught? About the rules. The government law here. No speeding. You know what the Chinese people from China like to speed? They like to smoke. But the law will keep them, teach them how to behave. So the land, the law of the land, in the culture of the people, dictates behavior. So, Mankind General was born there. But so young we have came, they were born. Now, the law that comes on later on from there, you can see that these two lines, the line of Cain and Seth, there were several lines, but when then they start to mix, and that's what we are all born with the serpent nature in us. And that's what we call the original sin. What do you commit? What do you tell lies? Every one of us told lies. If any of you say that you never lie, you are a big liar. Right? Many of us even covet, are very covetous. Yes? That we are filled with rage and anger easily. Where did that behavior come from? Where did that nature come from? That's the reason why it is the serpent seed, the gene that was infused into mankind. That's why did the Bible demand blood? Now that's interesting, isn't it? Why must there be a shedding of blood? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Why? Why blood? You know, when God slaughter, I don't know how many animals, maybe four at least, big enough to make a one rope for Adam and one rope for Eve. But do you think God desired that? What did God in the first place do that? Let's turn to the Bible, a few verses, and we'll close. Go to the book of 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. Here we have the story about the record about Saul, King Saul. How did he? Well, when God told him, when you go there, kill Agag and kill all these wicked ones, and even all the animals, destroy them. But King Saul did not kill the king, and he kept all the good animals, and he think that God is pleased with that, because he want to sacrifice all these healthy, nice animals to God. And what did God say? And Samuel said, "Help! The Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So, does God have great delight in your burnt offering and the sacrifices? No. God wants obedience in hearkening to the word of God. Next verse. Proverbs chapter 21. And verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, just read from verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou have no pleasure. Then said I, Lord, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written on me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou would not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lord, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, interestingly, God had no interest in sacrifice. Then why did he sacrifice the animal and make coat for Adam and Eve? Here is something that you will need to know. I already told you earlier on. He had to take the animal and slaughter it to represent, to make mankind know, innocent animal died for them. The Adam and Eve was clothed was because God can overlook their sin by using the blood shedding. They represent that an innocent one died for them. But God had no interest in sacrifice. Not one bit. Unless a lot of priests say, oh Lord, you know, I sacrifice a lot of money for you, for, you know, to the church, for the missions of this. God is not interested in your sacrifice. God is not interested in what you give him. God is interested in your obedience to his word. Hearken to the word of God and do it. That's what God is interested in. Now later when God called Abraham and promised him a son, and he got his son Isaac, right? Then God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac for me. Oh, that's kind of a bit shocking to Abraham, isn't it? Huh? Sacrifice your son Isaac for me. So what do you think it is? In the first place, what if God asked him to sacrifice his son? Because, you know, they were living in the world, Abraham already. By that time, it was already a couple of thousand years already. About 1,600 years. Alright? After the flood. Then God chose a man to show him, to reveal to him the one true God. Because Abraham lived among a country, among his people, among his kindred, relatives and all. And they all know Yahweh, but they were mixing with all kinds of idols in worship. And the people were sacrificing their even children to their gods. They put all the woods into a pile of fire. They take the son, cut off the throat, bleed the blood, put it on a bonfire, and sacrifice a burnt offering to their gods. And God told Abraham one day, I want you to do the same. Kind of joking, huh? But you see what? Civilization has come to such a way that everything they do, God will use those imagery. God will use those customs and try to teach Abraham. Because Abraham was the very first man whom God called to carry a revelation of truth to his descendant and then passed down. Then came the prophets, the law. Then came to us, Jesus Christ. And we are all learning to these stages why this thing happens. So when God called Abraham to tell Isaac and sacrifice him for me, he said to Abraham. Now, do you know something? It was something that Abraham knew, because it was something that he sees every day in his country. People were sacrificing. So he just obeyed. But when he took the son up to the mountain, now let me tell you something. Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac was not a teenager. Isaac was an adult. Not less than 25 years old. Even by calculating that age, he could even be as old as 30 years old. He could punch his father in the face. But Isaac knew. It's the God of his father. Because father and son has such a special relationship. And he was willing to be tied up and waiting for the father to cut his throat and sacrifice him in a pile of fire. But you know what? We know that God was testing Abraham. But you know, God do not like sacrifice. We already know He never liked sacrifice. And you think that God wants to practice what the heathen was practicing? That was a heathen practice. By sacrificing human being was a pagan practice. That's why God stopped His hand. Don't do that. Abraham, I knew you loved me. And today we have many traditions in the church. For example, let me ask you this. Why do you bow your head when you pray? The Bible never asks you to bow the head. When every time Jesus prayed, He looked up into the heaven and He prayed. Why do you bow your head and close your eyes? You never get a teaching in the Bible. You get that? Where did that come from? All these are traditions that are out there in the world that the church embraced and it's carried down. So it becomes part and parcel of the church behavior. We don't have to bow our head. Jesus never did. The prophet never did. Only when they repent, they prostrate before the Lord and say, God, forgive me. You know, you bow your head only when you are sorry. Like a son when he's misbehaved. Come here, son. What have you done? Obviously, he didn't come to his father and look his father. Yes. Obviously, his father said, yes, daddy. You will look down. They said, no, look up. Talk to me. Give me an answer why you do that. So you know, the culture and the tradition have infused into men. I'm just telling you this. You know how? And that's why we bow. People bow before the Lord. People bow, kneel down before God or kneel down to a man. For example, Abraham, he had to bow down before the king of those nations when he visited them. Because he needs respect to someone who is in high authority. And God used that. But if you look into the Garden of Eden when God judged Adam, when He judged the serpent, when He judged Eve, did they bow their head? Did they kneel down? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we seek for more of God's grace, we want to go on our knees and say, Lord, if we seek for Him. But when we pray, we can always stand up and praise the Lord. We can sit down and thank God for that. Well, we've always been taught, bow your head. Yeah, that's okay. But I'm telling you that how tradition creeps into the church. Many of the things that we have in the church are not in the Bible. But some of the things are alright if it's not in the Bible. But there are things that are not true that has been added to the Bible that make the Word of God no effect. They make the Word of God no effect at all. He only destroyed the truth and blinded the people to the truth that God gave us. So as these two lines begin to cross through the world today, what we see? The sin will keep on heaping up. And look at the politics in the world. So much lies. So much fake news generated now today. Thanks. Give thanks to the technology of today. Huh? A lot of things are proliferating all around the world. Social media, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. And the world is in if you read today's paper, Korea, I think China, and America, the people are stockpiling their food. They know it is imminent. The war is imminent. And here in Singapore, wow, we are living in paradise. We are living, as some brother in Africa told me, because they've been here, I said, brother, again, you're Singapore is in the millennium, it's in the paradise. Yeah, we have everything good. You read in the paper, oh, how the government is going to do, how they're going to beautify the whole country and things like that. Yes, we all thank God, now that we have all this wonderful nation to live in. But let us not be complacent, because they always come that the world must come to a close. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Thank you for thy word. And I ask the Lord, that our life, Father, in Christ Jesus, be worthy of thy gospel, Lord. That we walk according to what your word teaches. That we will be, Father, following all that which your Holy Spirit will lead us. And we ask for your grace, Lord, for those that will be hearing on this message on the video as well. We pray that you bless them also, Lord. We ask for your grace now, yet that you bless thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Shall we stand?